are under 6 hours away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline at 6 o'clock today. Joe is currently lost in the hallways somewhere. Sometimes Joe disappears and I try to find him. And sometimes the lost ones will eventually find their way home. But first, let's go to Michael in Bellevue who wants to talk about the deadline. What's up, Michael? Michael, are you there?
Yes, how's it going, guys?
We're good. What you got?
So you guys kind of touched on it with the last caller, but also just wanted to first thing, thank God Ke'Bryan Hayes is gone. That dude was an automatic out every single time. Just couldn't be happier that he's gone. But I think there. So I was on the fence about Bednar being traded. I thought, you know, maybe like 50-50. But I'm definitely leaning more towards that he is going to be traded now. A lot because of the Mason Miller trade and all the other closers getting traded for high prospects and everything. Because Mason Miller, like, yielded back the number three prospect in all of baseball. So that's essentially, like, if we traded Bednar, like, that's like getting Bubba Chandler back, almost. So I think that, like, if we trade him, which we definitely should, we can definitely get back, like, a super high prospect. You know, as well as Keller, I think we should trade Keller as well. And I don't see why that can't yield a really high prospect or major leaguer already.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. I mean, there's a good point, I think, that's made there, Joe, of just what the reliever market is, and J.P. Morosi also pointing it out about how much back teams are getting. Like, Mason Miller is in a class of his own. He's not – David Bednar is not Mason Miller age-wise, talent-wise, 100-mile-per-hour fastball-wise. But I do think you could probably acquire a top 100 prospect for Bednar. 2 years left, ERA right around 2. It's under 2 since he returned from AAA.
Something horrible has happened, Limits.
What's that?
Malzy invited me to play a very prestigious golf course next Thursday, and I told him I could.
Chartiers?
I'm not telling you.
Neville-Wood?
And then at the last minute, because, well, like father, like daughter, my daughter's doing everything for her college visits at the last minute.
Yes.
She wants to go to some places in North Carolina.
Yes.
So I arranged these flights in a panic yesterday. And then I realized when I just went back to talk to Malzy, which is why I was delayed here,
yes,
that next Thursday is the day we're supposed to play. And I have to fly to North Carolina. I don't think I can get out of it. And he said part of the attraction here was Pomp and I playing together.
Very much
with
so.
These people. To which I say, come on. If it's Malzy and Pomp, if it's simply Pomp, then the invitation will stand, I think. Don't you?
You don't think that you're a big part of that invitation?
No.
Where if you're not a part of it,
I'm highly disappointing to people. I felt like I was partially at Neville-Wood yesterday. My friend Wayne over there introduced me to all his friends in the restaurant afterwards, and I'm just a disappointment in person.
A disappointment?
I'm a dud, yeah.
A dud?
Yeah.
You think you're like a background character?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
You shouldn't think that. You're the main character,
Joe. The expectations are high.
Are the expectations about your personality or about you
golfing? I don't know. I don't know. You ask them. And then I...
You ask them. You talk to them. I don't know them.
And then I... It's not the same. I think I've relatively the same personality on the show as off the show. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Except it's not the show. It's a round of golf or talking over a drink or a sandwich in the clubhouse. I can't do the radio show there. So maybe this is all in my head.
No.
I feel like then I'm disappointing people.
I understand. Sometimes I feel like if I'm talking to people, I think, oh man, what am I going to say now? Or what can I think of? What's a good topic of conversation?
Yeah.
Where when we're on right now, it just kind of feels natural.
You mean to tell me that a guy in the minor leagues right now, Nick York, who's batting 270 with 6 home runs in 300 at-bats, is in their top 10 prospects? Limits?
Yeah,
Nick
is.
York. Are you kidding me? And he's still only 23. Then why isn't he here? What are they going to get the equivalent of Nick York in one of these other deals?
They feel great about IKF. He will be traded in the next 6 hours.
I've had enough of this. All right, go to the next topic. What do we got? Clips and quotes?
All right, let's do some clips and quotes. Before we change directions to football, this is what Paul Skeens had to say with Zangrilli about the Buccos needing to make some moves.
Closer versus farther away, what's your sense as to where this team is at in that respect?
I would argue both to an extent because we are very close, but we need to consciously and intentionally make moves to get us better. I think that's, you know, something that we might have been a victim of in the offseason a little bit, just because we have guys that can get better, you know, on the pitching side and offensively. That seemed like that was the goal and the, you know, the outlook during the offseason. Not that we made some moves, but there are guys that we have now that can get better, that will get better, but we have to make it happen. And then obviously going out there and, you know, trading for guys, signing guys, who knows from there. But I think it's something that we have to be conscious and intentional about.
Limits, we spent a whole show on that. It happened a week ago.
Well, I must not have been here. That's the first time I've heard it.
But that wasn't half the story. I didn't hear of it on Monday, and I felt like people were keeping it from me.
You weren't here last week, were you?
No, but I was here over the weekend, and it happened Sunday, and then I came in Monday, and neither Crowley nor I was aware of that quote, which to me was him very politely calling out management and ownership, and neither Crowley nor I had it on the air that day, but Pony did. And so the next day I came in and tried to do a little sleuthing as to whose fault it was that the Skeens quote on our air wasn't passed around so that the on-air people knew about it to talk about
it. Did you blame Crowley ultimately?
Why would I blame Crowley?
Did you blame Pony ultimately?
Crowley didn't know either. Are you listening?
I am, yes. But Crowley gets blamed for a lot of things.
I kind of blame Crowley. No, we traced it to Jolie, unfortunately, when he put out the email that goes out with the post games.
Yeah.
Had things like, you know, Zangrilli and Skeens talked about all these wonderful things. He didn't have in bold lettering, Skeens asked about ownership, says Pirates dropped the ball. That type of thing.
Frankly,
there was no mention of it. Mm. So Jolie gets some blame. I blame Zangrilli a little bit for not telling me. Who else? Anybody else deserve blame? I thought intern,
probably those two. Maybe intern Dom.
Intern Dom, I thought, just because
he's intern Dom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs to get blamed for everything. But that was a horrible miss not to talk about that on Monday. Why don't you give your take on it since we've been talking about it all week?
I would love to. I think Skeens is entirely right to do this. I hope Skeens does more of this where he basically calls out the things that are wrong in the organization that he sees. Because if there's somebody whose voice carries more weight than anyone in this organization, it should player-wise, it should be Paul Skeens. And if he's the one that's going to be publicly out there saying, look, we didn't do enough in the offseason, or there were moves that were made, but basically saying that they were not the right ones because the guys that were acquired are not good enough, it's not good enough for us to win. They're close, but they got to make the right moves. That's basically what you and I have been saying a lot, where their pitching is definitely there, but they have to acquire 2-3 bats for us to feel comfortable about it.
Next.
Here's what Aaron Rodgers had to say on the McAfee show about the playbook with Arthur Smith.
Getting more comfortable as the days go on. There's not a my own playbook and Arthur. It's Arthur's playbook. Now I'm finding, you know, ways within it to add, you know, little stuff here and there. But it's Arthur's playbook, and I like it. I like it a lot. But
we already talked about that yesterday, Limits.
I'm just biting my tongue. I'm biting my tongue. I'm not going to say what I actually wanted to say.
Say it, as long as it's not a swear word. Please go ahead and say it. Shouldn't you have checked with me on the things we've already talked about before you put together this segment?
Wouldn't it have been nice for you to pass that along with me, considering I wasn't here?
What do you want me to do? Give you every single thing we've talked about? Every quote, every clip?
Did you talk about how Rodgers feels on the field?
Body feels great, DB. We just got 2 days off.
Okay.
That never happens. We had a day off, and then we had a rain out yesterday, so I feel great.
Well, let's go back to the previous one, and let's hope that that's the case when he's playing behind Broderick Jones in about 3 months, that he still feels great. Arthur Smith's offense, we're all going to be very curious to see how this evolves, right?
No doubt. I mean, is it going to be a lot of play action? How much input will Rodgers
have? How much behind center will he play? You know, he's like Ben. He wants to be back in the shotgun. I don't know that he wants to be behind center.
I would imagine not much. I mean, he doesn't, yeah, doesn't want to move that much around.
And how much freedom will he have? I would imagine a lot, maybe more than Wilson and late stage Ben had under Mike Tomlin. But let's not also forget, or let's also not forget, that Tomlin's the guy running the show here. You mentioned the magic words there, Broderick Jones. He might be the biggest story of camp so far.
I think Broderick Jones is the most important player on the team this year. He is 1A, Aaron Rodgers is 1B.
No, that's ridiculous.
Because Aaron Rodgers, if he's going to stay upright...
The quarterback is the most important player on
the team. Well, if the quarterback is going to stay upright and the quarterback is able to be able to have the success that I think he can have this year, he's got to make sure that Broderick Jones does not have him power-drived into the ground on multiple occasions.
I guess I see your logic there, but it's still wrong. The quarterback...
The quarterback always
is the most important player on the team.
Yes. But Broderick Jones, I think, is just this year.
I agree. I just wrote
a 41-year-old quarterback that can barely move. He can move a little bit.
Yes.
Not nearly as much, though. Broderick Jones, it's that important.
I just wrote a column yesterday, Oh Limitless Wonder, that assuming Rodgers is at least as good as late stage Ben and assuming your veterans play to their pedigree, that the two X factors on this team, the guys with star potential that we haven't seen yet, and two guys playing vitally important positions, one protecting the quarterback's blind side, the other covering the team's best receiver, Broderick Jones and Joey Porter Jr. are the biggest sort of X factor players on this whole team. So in the end, we agree.
By far. Next. Now, could they add somebody else to that fold, Omar?
I mean, you never say you're done, but, you know, I really like the group that we have here, and, you know, we've done a lot this offseason, and, you know, we'll see. If there's ever an opportunity to improve the team, you know, we'll think about it and talk about it, but, you know, we feel good about the team, Pat.
Now, that's exactly what Omar said in his press conference at the start of training camp when they added Chuck Clark the next day.
Well, I've also heard that said by Tomlin, actually, last year, how much he loved the receiver core and how we were all wrong in questioning his receivers, and that was before they imploded over the last month and a half of the season, and that was a big reason why there's nobody to throw to beyond George Pickens, who was then, was he pouting? Was he quitting? Was he late for, I don't remember what stage he was in at that point last year, but the receivers were a joke. Now, do I think that they necessarily need a number two right now? Not necessarily. We talked about this yesterday, Limits, while you were still on vacation. I think the key is as you said, Jones and the offensive line protecting Rodgers. If he's protected, I think the weaponry is pretty adequate here. I really do. Adding Jonnu Smith was essentially, to me anyway, adding a receiver. So you have him, you have Freiermuth, you have DK Metcalf, you have Calvin Austin, you have Johnson and Warren out of the backfield. Nobody's going to say this is the best receiving core in the league, but I think if Rodgers has time to throw, he has plenty of weaponry.
He does. I would still like to see them add one more guy just because...
That's because you're selfish.
No, because I'm confused on the role that Roman Wilson and Robert Woods will have. Like, is Robert Woods another Van Jefferson where he comes in and just blocks? And can Roman Wilson take that next step? It seems like Roman Wilson, anytime his name is brought up,
yeah,
there is a huge, and I heard Badko talking about this last night with Donnie.
Yeah, this is not going well, I don't think.
There's a huge amount of people that love Roman Wilson and think he's going to be good this year, and then there's a huge amount of people that think Roman Wilson is not going to be anything and they shouldn't depend on him. So I think a lot of the fan base is split on
Wilson.
I think
the best way to phrase it is the way Dulac did in his chat. It at some point you have to stand out, whether it's in you know, you're running around in spring or before they put the pads on. Certainly when they put the pads on, at some point you have to stand out.
And
it just hasn't happened yet.
He hasn't yet this
year. Not in any good ways anyway.
Not at all.
So of course it's still very young in this camp, and 2 weeks from now we could be talking about Roman Wilson as a breakout player in camp, but it's got to happen. At some point, this dude has to do something that makes people look at him and say, oh, that's why they took him. Let's go here.
Next.
Next.
TJ Watt on what it's like working with Aaron Rodgers.
Frustrating because he talks a lot of smack. He really does.
Like does he have to, at the line of scrimmage? Is he saying stuff to you at the line of scrimmage?
Oh, yeah, and I think a lot of the no-look passes are things that we're getting used to. I like to bat down a lot of passes line of scrimmage, and he's able to manipulate the defense good, so that's been very frustrating. Hopefully today we get the better of him.
They talked about this a little bit, and Peter Schrager also echoed it on Twitter, that it seems like this year the vibe around the Steelers it's just better than what it was in previous years.
I do agree with that, and I meant to bring it up today. That's a great point, I think, relaxed. It's almost like, in a good way, don't give a damn type of attitude. Like, let's just wing this and have some fun. It's almost like we're under no pressure here. You could say the truth is they're under tons of pressure because they haven't been competitive in a playoff game for 8 years, but the reality is they really aren't under any. Who's under pressure? Mike Tomlin?
No, nope, maybe
an extension. They could go 3-14.
This is it for Aaron.
Aaron Rodgers' legacy is secured. Cam Hayward's, even though he's never been part of a team that's made a run, his legacy is secure as a great Steeler and well-earned. Even TJ Watt, who's never won a playoff game, his legacy as a great Steeler is also very much secured.
And
I think
his money.
Do you?
Yes.
Do you think it is?
Yes.
Plus he
got his money.
Jalen Ramsey's won a Super Bowl. Slay has won a Super Bowl. DK Metcalf, I don't know. You know, is there a ton of pressure on him? He got his money,
too. He got paid $30 million a year. So, no, there's not a lot of pressure on a lot of guys other than, like, Broderick Jones and JPJ, a lot of younger guys trying to prove themselves.
The vibe I get from over there watching from afar is just that. A relaxed, fun, let's just go for it type of attitude. I don't know if it's going to work, but I can feel the same thing you're feeling. Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful point, Limits.
Yeah, they seem like it's kind of, all right, we've all been here before where there have been some expectations, but it seems like they feel more united because there was also no TJ Watt holdout this year. There was no big Brandon Ayuk trade rumors like there was last year that was a cloud hovering over their heads. It seems like a lot of the noise has kind of gone away from this team, and it's just go out there and play ball.
Maybe the fact that they failed so much also plays into this. Like, how much worse can it get than going on the road to Baltimore and having people say we're quitting on Tomlin in the middle of a game where we're giving up 300 yards rushing? You know, it's almost like, screw it. Let's just come out this year and go for broke. No pressure. There's always pressure in pro sports, but you know what I mean. Relatively speaking, I think it begins with Rodgers. He just seems to be having a good old time.
Well, and it
how
seems
all
like,
this how all this translates, I don't know. But I agree with your assessment.
It seems like Cam Hayward agrees.
When you talk about Aaron, he talks a lot of crap, but man, I love how he goes about his work. He approaches it the right way. He's asking questions. He's been asking us about week one, how to prepare for that, night meetings. You know, he's all about being locked in with this group, which is great.
It makes me wonder, like, was Russell Wilson not like that last year? Did Russell Wilson just not have as great of a relationship?
No, everybody was saying the same things about Russell last year, that they were enjoying his presence. He had a leadership type of presence. Now, he was hurt, you remember,
right?
In
thanks
camp.
To the blocking sled.
Thanks to the good old, are they having Rodgers do the old blocking sled this
nope.
year, just in case he gets, I don't know, assigned to pass protection?
No reports of blocking sleds for Aaron this year.
But there's been a lot of talk about the camaraderie as well. I saw Darius Slay on there yesterday talking about everybody hanging out in dorm rooms at night, having fun. A lot of times storylines are created like this before the season that aren't quite true, or even if they are, don't matter. But I am taking note of it. It does seem to be a team that's together and having some fun in training camp, bonding. They're having a bonding experience, Limits.
Well, and that's a big part of when you go away to camp compared to just staying at home and going on to the South Side.
I don't know if it matters. It certainly hasn't the last 8 years.
It doesn't make a significant difference, but I think it does.
I'm just taking note of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can't hurt chemistry.
No, it can't. Now, Jalen Ramsey is obviously going to be bouncing around a lot. This is how he's impacted the defense so far, according to Cam Hayward.
With Jalen, it's not just what he does when the play is snapped. It's what he's doing before the play. His disguise, his level of professionalism is just on display for everybody. So, like, that first pick Aaron threw to Patrick Queen, that was because of Jalen. So, seeing him out there, I'm excited to see what he's going to do this year.
That's interesting. And Jalen Ramsey is definitely a person of interest. Everybody you talk to over there, whether they're covering it, whether they're inside like Cam, will say that this dude is still really, really good, really smart and instinctive. His track record kind of speaks for itself. If he's healthy, you have a great player on your hands. Would you agree with that?
You do, and you have a guy that can basically play corner.
I have a problem
outside,
limits.
Inside,
he's going to play safety, too. I have a problem.
What's your problem? Is it with your voice again?
No.
Is everything okay?
No, everything's good.
Is it with the vending machine?
No,
I had
it's
a problem with
the
vending machine last
week. So did
week.
I. It doesn't work. Yeah. It hasn't worked. I don't even want to talk about that. Every time
either.
I go in there, it said cell phone connecting. What's cell phone? It's a vending machine. 50 years ago, 100 years ago in this country, which would have been 1924, you could have put a nickel into a vending machine and gotten what you want. We've had all these advancements in technology, all these highfalutin, newfangled machines, and they don't work. That thing's been sitting in there. I want that Gatorade protein bar, and I've been wanting it literally for months. And every time I walk into that room, they won't take money. It'll
nope.
only take a one.
Yep.
Who carries ones around? And then when you try to do the credit card, it simply doesn't work.
No, it says
all
not
the
connected.
Time. So
not
it's stocked
connected.
The same way that it's been stocked for 3 months. 100 years ago in this country, you could get something out of a vending machine easier than you can now. What was I going to say?
I don't know.
Neither do I.
I put a five in the other day and I got all quarters back and I wasn't happy about it. I should have known better. Some vending machines give you dollar bills back.
They do?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
They're the most modern ones.
Hmm. Fascinating. Oh, what I was going to say was, I feel like I'm starting to drink Steeler Kool-Aid. Am I?
Now,
I compared it yesterday to being immersed in Bradenton with the Pirates in spring
yes.
training. It's like you've just won the Super Bowl and people are dumping Kool-Aid over your head. You know what I mean? By the end of spring training, you think the Pirates are at least going to go 158-4.
Yes.
It'll be a surprise if they lose five games. Am I starting to drink Steeler Kool-Aid here?
Now,
why am I doing this?
Where were you before with the Steelers? 9-8, 8-9, 10-7?
Of course. Everybody's there with the Steelers, and they're always right.
So have you changed their record, or have you changed their outlook on what they do, like winning a playoff game or not?
That and their record. Just higher on the Steelers, and maybe literally high on them. I don't know. Is the Kool-Aid spiked? I don't know what's going on here. Maybe I'm watching too much of these interviews, too many of them. And things are making sense, and Rodgers is moving around better, and I loved hearing Jonnu Smith. He seems like a really good dude and a good player. Caleb Johnson, I think, is going to be really good. Peyton Wilson taking a huge
he's having
step
a great
forward.
Camp. Backs on backers.
He's having a great camp, Limits. They've only been in pads once.
Well, he had a good start to the camp as well in the first three practices they had. And backs on backers, Bacco was saying.
Well, what do you mean he's having how can somebody have a great camp when they've barely hit yet?
Well, as what they've done so far, he's been very good.
I know. When I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on
you
him,
are.
I'm drinking it on Rodgers.
You're trying to throw the Kool-Aid away.
I'm
Peyton
drinking
Wilson.
It on Rodgers the way I used to drink, you know, Coors Lights. I won't tell you what I used to do, but I used to drink lots of them.
Please don't. I don't think the audience
is there something wrong with me? What is happening here?
Well,
I'm not totally converted yet.
No, I think they could win a playoff game. That's basically where I shifted, where they might be able to win a playoff game. Now I think that they can be 10-7 and win a playoff game, I think, is possible for them. So that's the
I'm worried about myself. I'll tell you that. I'm worried about myself right now and the Steeler Kool-Aid. Is it to be believed? 412-928-9370. 928-9370. Are you drinking it? Here in the early days of camp. My God, if Aaron Rodgers has a Kenny Pickett-like preseason, we're going to have a ticker tape parade before the year even starts, Limits. We're going to reserve downtown Pittsburgh with 600,000 people and just celebrate the Super Bowl before the Jets game.
I'll be right there in front of the line with you, buddy.
I'm worried about myself. All right. Let's see here. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm. where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's 12:34, time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. So coming up, 1 o'clock, we have the NOAA Constrictor. Right as the deadline is hitting, Noah Hiles of the Post-Gazette covers the Pirates. Major League Baseball's trade deadline, 6 p.m. Noah been reporting that, you know, Mitch Keller is practically off the market. Let's ask for an update on that. And Bednar, those are the two big things we're looking at right now.